At 7:06, we have 35 degrees as your current temperature here this morning. We look for sunny skies today with a high near 58 and north winds at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Chris Parks with KJAN News. In the latest local news, the Creston Police Department reports a two-vehicle accident occurred Friday at 11:40 a.m. at the corner of West Page and South Division Streets in Creston. The accident resulted in both 60-year-old Holly Ferber and 42-year-old Stacy Wilker being transported to the Greater Regional Medical Center in Creston by ambulance. After investigation, officers believe the 2014 Chevy Equinox driven by Holly Ferber of Corning was traveling westbound on Page Street and made a tight left-hand turn onto Division Street. The turn was a little too tight, resulting in Ferber getting into the lane of oncoming traffic and struck the front end of a 2009 Pontiac Vibe driven by Stacy Wilker of Creston. Wilker was traveling northbound on Division Street and was attempting to turn onto Page Street when struck. Both vehicles were totaled in the wreck, and both drivers sustained possible injuries. No further details are known at this time. A complaint about suspicious activity early Friday morning in the city of Brooks led to the arrest of one person on drug charges. The Adams County Sheriff's Office says 29-year-old Joshua Cooney was arrested on charges of possession of methamphetamine, possession of marijuana second offense, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Cooney was transported to the Adams County Jail and held pending an appearance before the magistrate. Two people were arrested late this week on sexual abuse charges in Adams County. At around 7:30 p.m. Thursday, the Sheriff's Office received a report from authorities in Missouri with regard to the possible sexual abuse of a child. At around 8:15 a.m. on Friday, Adams County deputies arrested 20-year-old Brandon Pafford of Nottoway on felony charges of sexual abuse in the second degree and lascivious acts with a child. Pafford was transported to the Adams County Jail in Corning and held pending an appearance before a magistrate. At around 10:30 a.m. on Friday, 38-year-old Carolyn Green of Nottoway was arrested on a felony charge of child endangerment based on an investigation of the possible sexual abuse of a child within her residence. Green was held in the jail pending an appearance before a magistrate. A city official says about 20% of Council Bluffs households are late paying their garbage bills. The Daily Nonpareil reports that because so many residents are behind on their garbage bills, the city on Friday started putting liens on their property. The move will require them to pay their bills when they pay their next property taxes. Property tax payments will be due next up in March. Public Health Director Don Dierks said that of the 18,954 households in Council Bluffs, about 3,800 are late on their garbage bills. The late fees total about $250,000. Dierk says he's sympathetic to residents who don't have much money and are choosing which bills to pay, but he says we've got bills to pay as well. The Iowa Department of Transportation and the Nebraska Department of Roads will open the new bridge carrying U.S. Highway 34 over the Missouri River, linking Iowa and Nebraska, after 3 p.m. on Wednesday, October 22nd. According to the Iowa Department of Transportation's Creston Construction Office, completion of the $61 million bridge project not only allows for ease of travel between Iowa and Nebraska for motorists, but it supports future economic development between the two states. The bridge is just across from the intersection of Highway 34 and Interstate 29 near Pacific Junction, Iowa, and also near Plattsmouth and Bellevue, Nebraska. And also officials in that area have warned motorists in the area to be cautious of traveling in that intersection. They've opened up now westbound lanes of traffic as they made repairs on the bridge of Highway 34 across Interstate 29. That's been an ongoing project ever since the flooding a few years ago. And they've reopened those westbound lanes. And they're asking folks there along L31, which is another county roadway, to make sure that they are paying attention and stopping at that intersection. Previously, they were able to cross to the next set of lanes that we're traveling as, using as both westbound and eastbound lanes that are typically just the eastbound lanes, as the westbound lanes were blocked off, so folks were just going right into the middle of that intersection. But now that those westbound lanes or traffic are open, folks need to remember to stop before trying to cross that roadway. There's already been a couple of accidents in that area this week. An Indianapolis-based development firm plans to convert the former Des Moines Register building into apartments. The Des Moines Register reported on Friday that the Witsit Group wants to begin a $36 million renovation of the downtown building around March 2015. The 96-year-old building has been empty since spring of 2013 when the media company moved to another downtown office. Work to transform the former newspaper office into 164 apartments with additional space for offices, meeting rooms, and retail would be finished in summer of 2016 under the Whitsitt Group's plans. Financing of the project would include government tax credits. The developer has a contract to buy the building, but a purchase price was not yet disclosed. The company also plans a renovation of the former Indianapolis Star building. Both newspapers are owned by Gannett. Des Moines school officials say East High School has been forced to forfeit its football game against Ames because of internet rumors about possible gun violence. The Des Moines Register reports that the Iowa High School Athletic Association gave East the option to forfeit the Friday night game, travel to Ames to play, or postpone it until daylight hours on Saturday and still play at the East Stadium. School Superintendent Tom Ahart says the reasons cited by the association and Ames school officials are baseless and the decision is an insult to students and the Des Moines community. East school officials arranged for more police officers at school on Friday in response to the rumors of a gunfight, but nothing unusual happened during school. An athletics association spokesman didn't immediately respond to the message, and East school officials originally had considered a Saturday game date, but said that it would be too much of an interference with their student-athletes who also have employment on the weekends that would interfere with that activity. And they plan to appeal to the Athletic Association to try to have that game played at a later date. A Creston woman was arrested on Thursday evening for violating a court order. Creston police report 30-year-old Alicia Lavelle was arrested at her home for violation of a no-contact protection order. Lavelle was being held in the Ringgold County Jail while awaiting a bond hearing. An Iowa student and his mother face felony charges after authorities say they searched the boy's home in Rolfe and found enough explosive materials to level a two-story building. Pocahontas County Sheriff Bob Lamb said Friday that the 14-year-old boy was not identified, reportedly planned to blow up a building in November. Lamb says that the boy apparently researched how to make the explosive materials and had perfected the formula. The boy was charged with possessing explosive materials with the intent to use the material to commit a public offense. The teen's mother was charged with possession of explosive materials, child endangerment, and aiding and abetting reckless use of explosives. She was not named as well. Authorities say a teacher saw the boy researching explosives on a school computer. Now taking a look at your funeral announcements here this morning, Charles Ralph Charlie South, age 76 of Lewis, died Wednesday. A memorial potluck luncheon for Charlie South will be held today beginning at 11 a.m. at the Lewis Community Center in Lewis. Adabel Fogelsong, age 91 of Guthrie Center, died October 10th at the New Homestead in Guthrie Center. Funeral services for Adabel Fogelsong will be held on Monday at 10 a.m. at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home Guthrie Center has arrangements. Gilbert Gibb Frank Christinger, age 81 of Griswold, died Thursday at the Methodist Hospital in Omaha. A memorial service for Gibb Christinger will be held on October 20th at 11 a.m. at the Griswold United Methodist Church. Dune Funeral Home in Griswold has the arrangements. That's coming up on Monday. Betty Reimer Lawton, age 91 of Atlantic and formerly of Marnie, died on Monday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. A celebration of life service for Betty Lawton will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the First Assembly of God Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home of Atlantic has arrangements. Catherine Barker, age 88 of Panora, died Thursday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Funeral services for Catherine Barker will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at St. Cecilia's Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home Panora has arrangements. Kenneth Eugene Martin, age 94 of Avoca, died Thursday at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Kenneth Martin will be held on Tuesday at 10 a.m. at the Hancock United Methodist Church in Hancock. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has the arrangements. Mary Maxwell, age 71 of Atlantic, died Wednesday at the Creighton University Medical Center in Omaha. Funeral services for Mary Maxwell will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Elizabeth McCool, age 84 of Atlantic, passed away Wednesday at Cass County Memorial Hospital in Atlantic. Funeral services for Elizabeth McCool will be held on Tuesday at 2 p.m. at the First Baptist Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home Atlantic has the arrangements. That's a look at your latest news and funeral announcements here on KJAN. I'm Chris Parks, KJAN News.